So we're going to hit him with a 3-2-1 clap like normal. And that's going to be 3-2-1. 3-2-1. 3-2-1. Yo, did you guys see Dr. Fauci throw that first pitch? He doesn't want anybody catching shit.
Not even a ball. I saw that as soon as Trump found out that Fauci was doing one, he said he was going to do one for the Yankees and then backed out today. Said he was too busy.
Yeah.
Because that bitch couldn't throw it. Like, Fauci at least got it to the plate. Parallel to the plate. And
dude's like 80 years old. Like, give him a break.
Oh, people were like, yo, the fact that he can't play sports makes me believe him as a science man even more.
Yeah.
And then, have you seen 50 Cent's pitch?
Yeah, he pretty much did the same
thing. Yeah, that was pretty bad. There's a lot of bad first pitches. It's almost like... It's hard to do.
Almost like it's kind of just a comical idea to...
Yeah, I don't know why we have people doing it, but... Apparently Mariah Carey's was bad, but nowhere near as bad as, like...
As her national anthem?
Mariah Carey? I don't know. Did she do a bad national anthem?
Yes, a very, very bad one.
That's weird.
Not like Roseanne Barr level, but...
No, but Mariah Carey can actually sing, which is weird.
Mariah Carey did a bad New Year's Eve performance. Was it Fergie who did the very bad national anthem?
I'm willing to believe that, because I don't think Fergie actually can sing that well.
May have been both. Who can say? Many people have been given the opportunity to sing the national anthem, which is, in fact, a bad song.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't even slap.
No. It does not slap or... hit or whatever. Is not fire.
You just think about I think about some of the problematic shit that exists in the world, but some of it slaps, some of it bangs, you know. It's, you know, R. Kelly's a terrible person, so I don't listen to his music or play it anymore, but there was a reason we all did like the remix to Ignition. It adds some jam to it, okay, but we have to stop. The national anthem is like, yo, that song doesn't even go though.
It's like, why are we all going so hard for a song that does not even slap?
And it's like, represents a lot of terrible shit. So,
does not rhyme, was written by a slaveholder, doesn't use English that anyone can fucking understand.
And was a ripoff, if I recall correctly, of a different song.
Yeah.
It was plagiarized.
Is a British, based on a British song.
Meanwhile.
Well, also on top of that, it's also there's way more verses than anybody ever knows.
Yo, those ones get really bad.
Yeah.
Also, the LA Times did a thread on Twitter talking about how they should replace the national anthem, and they mentioned and went straight past "This Land Is Your Land" to decide that the new national anthem should be "Lean on Me" by Bill Withers. And look. "Lean on Me" does slap, but it doesn't really have much about, is it about America? No one in America is particularly leanable right now.
Not right now, but I think "Lean on Me" does exhibit the ideals that America claims to be for, "Lean on Me when you're not strong, if you need a hand." It's talking about, familial
power. Supporting, yeah.
Brotherhood is the general term, or is the specific term, the general form of that. I don't know. I would feel more inspired than
here. I would definitely still take it any day over fucking Star Spangled Banner. I just think "This Land Is Your Land" is truly solid choice.
It should just be Antifa "Paparazzi" anthem by Lady Gaga.
Yeah, that's really... that's the real truth. The liberal media is too scared to hear.
Y'all ready to start?
Yeah.
I thought that was it. I thought we were podcasting already. That was the cold open.
You know what?
Just leave it in. That's it.
It may as well be. Welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. And as always, I'm your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And joining me today on this pop culture paradise, I have two lovely co-hosts. Would you like to tell the listeners who it is that you are, if they don't know?
I am again, if you're listening to this show, it's kind of weird that you know who Dom is, but not who we are. But hey, it's me, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, Hello Steph on Instagram, and, you know, a little bit of a nerd, maybe. I don't know. Who else is here?
Hi, I'm Eric.
He's Eric.
And that's it. I'm Tindy Losey. I'm Tindy Losey on Twitter. I'm a very big nerd in both the fact that I am a large person and also in the fact that I am very nerdy.
He's a tall boy with nerdy interests, and I am a small girl with also nerdy interests, and Dom is a reasonably middle-sized person.
What's up, y'all? Three little bears of nerds.
What's up, we're the three little bears of nerds, like you said, and we once got called the queerest podcast on the internet. Granted, that was by us and a guest on the show, which will never happen because we had some tech difficulties, but that's just part of life. We roll with the punches, we keep going. But other than that, I must ask, how are you two doing today?
You know, it's a pretty good day.
Eric had a good day. I had a good day. I slept in, read some books, built some stuff. You know, my power does come somewhat from the ability to build. I have to build IKEA furniture every so often, or just like Superman seeing the sun.
What's your kryptonite then? Is it just like, is it like Wayfair furniture?
Yes. Wayfair furniture is my kryptonite for multiple reasons, not the most of which is that they sold shit to ICE.
And what I mean, yeah, and also apparently they're
like the conspiracy theories about theories it.
Bullshit about it. Yeah,
I was gonna say, yeah, my friend who literally works in anti-human trafficking was like, guys, come on,
like, yeah, they wouldn't do that.
That's not how this works.
It's weird how there's, I think conspiracy theories are a good way as any to talk today. We don't have a lot of topics, any big topics. One thing that throws me off about conspiracies, like that one, they're like, there's a trafficking, like a sex crimes issue in Hollywood, and they're using Wayfair to perpetrate it. It's like,
that first sentence is true.
That's absolutely, yeah. True. It's not even a conspiracy that Hollywood has an issue with that stuff, but the fact that, like, well, they're gonna sell these cabinets that have children in them is like, that's, it seems like a horribly inefficient and easy way to get caught doing something illegal when you didn't need to do that.
Like, that, like, you think that these, like, secret government people who are, like, trafficking children are, like, buying them through a website that keeps fucking receipts? I think not.
Like, these are the people who, like, put money in offshore accounts and do all kinds of weird juggling to get out of taxes, but, like, yes. Like, the only way I can perpetrate a crime is if I go on Wayfair.com.
Now, like, that Jeffrey Epstein is dead, where am I going to get my child slaves? Like,
yeah, like, come on, guys.
It's intensely stupid.
But that anger should still be aimed at whatever these, like, upper 1% type people, because, again, these problems are real, just not through the ways. Like, you're making it too hard. Like, it's
it's not as complicated as all that. They just won't pay their taxes.
It's kind of like that joke conspiracy where people are like, the moon landing was supposed to be faked, but they hired Stanley Kubrick to do it, and he's such a perfectionist, he actually figured out space travel so that it could be filmed on the moon. It's like, why would you believe that when it's just as easy to believe, no, we just went to the moon? Like, you don't have to believe these extra steps. Just relax.
It's like, have you ever seen the thing? It's like, if someone ever is like, oh, you think the moon landing was real? Be like, you believe in the moon?
Yeah. Just one up the conspiracy theories. And obviously, if you're living in the world that we're living in 2020, you're listening to this within 5 months of it coming out. I don't know if people go back and listen to old current events podcasts, but there's a lot of conspiracies around, like, COVID vaccines and stuff like that.
Bill Gates is going to control you with microchips in the vaccine.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking fine. Like, I don't want to die.
We don't even have, like, you think we have that technology and they're using, like, a conspiracy that people don't believe in to administer? Like, come on. Like, the conspiracy would be, like, some Elon Musk, like, oh, I can put music in your brain, or, like, Apple sell something. Like, Apple, like, it's the new eye chip. Like, they wouldn't put it in a vaccine that people don't trust.
Yeah.
Or they don't need to microchip you to know where you're at. Like, so many people carry around phones that have Google or Apple with all our info. Most of us use Facebook. Social media is a mistake, but we all use cell phones that are always tracked.
Thanks for taking the words out of my mouth.
Oh, I did it because I love to talk. And the other thing is, like, people are like, yo, you know you have a social security number, right? The government has a pretty good idea of where you are most times. So that's a ridiculous conspiracy, but I do want to acknowledge that some people having fear of government stuff is legitimate, particularly people of color, particularly Black people and Native Americans. And other indigenous peoples, just based on like real life things that have happened,
based on history and the way the government continues to treat them.
Yeah, like look up the if you don't know the Tuskegee like syphilis experiments. A lot of Black people were told they were participating in a trial. I forget the specifics, but they weren't told that they were like going to have like syphilis or stuff like that.
They basically weren't told. They were told that they were testing a new treatment, but they were. They just wanted to see how the doctors just wanted to see how untreated syphilis, affected people.
But so. Then I don't think they were specifically told that. So a lot of people were given syphilis without knowing what they were doing, which you know, they tell us this in health class. But syphilis, for the most part, is relatively harmless until you don't treat it. Like.
Yeah.
You know, if you get this and then, like, a month later, you're like, you know, let me get tested. And I don't even know what the range is. I think it's fairly long. You can just get a medicine and it sucks and it probably gives you a stomach ache or something, but you're fine. But if you don't treat it, it can, like, sterilize you and cause, like, lots of pain and other problems like that and brain damage, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to say mental issues. Like, a lot of famous royals died of complications from syphilis.
Or,
like,
maybe somebody high up in American politics right now. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, who knows? Who can say? But so when you hear some people saying, you know what, I don't want to take the first round of this, or I don't know if I can trust this, half the time they're conspiracy people that are just like not trusting the government because they hate science, but the other people are people who understand history and have reasons to mistrust the government. So, you know, just keep that in mind during your discourses, because I've had to explain both to people.
Both sides.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know...
A weird shit place to be in.
Like, you could probably trust this, but maybe not, see where it goes first. If it's like, hey, we're going to roll this treatment out to, like, lots of poor neighborhoods and Black neighborhoods, because they need it really right now. I'm like, no, don't take that. Like, it's probably a lot. Like, but if they're like, hey, everyone can get this, yeah, it's probably going to be safe. You know, always defer to experts, you know, trust experts in the field. That's the people you can follow the most. So I don't think there's anything controversial about saying listen to experts and just watch out for historical trends. That seems right.
Welcome to 2020, Dom, where saying listen to experts is in fact controversial.
Yeah, somehow.
We made it, y'all.
We're in the darkest timeline.
This is called the cool zone, is what I believe it's called. If you ask certain left-wing media.
Wait, like, really?
Kind of independent. It's a joke.
Okay.
I mean, it's a meme, basically, saying, you know, like, it's the cool zone because of, like, the way that cops interact with the public and, like, the way the government is just straight up, like, gaslighting its citizens. A lot of different things like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's literally, like, it's not supposed to be, like, the cool zone as in this is super good. It's, like, you know, tongue-in-cheek, the cool zone.
Oh, I gotcha. You know, speaking of timelines, though, Bill and Ted 3 is coming out to streaming at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it looks fine.
Yeah, that's a time travel movie.
Yeah. And Bill and Ted's daughters are in the movie.
That we can time travel ourselves.
Yeah, apparently it involves a plot where they need to make a song to save the world or universe or something, and... So they travel further into the future to figure out what they did so they can copy off themselves or something.
Nice.
But their daughters are in there as well, like, because they're grown, like, Keanu Reeves and the other guy. I don't know his name.
I don't know who he is.
I know the character names, but they both look, you know, pretty all right. Obviously, Keanu Reeves is aging as we've known him.
He's immortal, yeah.
And so they, you know, they're both, like, parent age now, and they have daughters. So, like, they're also a musician. So there's, like, a nice little family pass the torch type thing. I don't know. Movies coming to streaming. That's cool, I guess.
Me and my roommate had a conversation last night. She saw a meme that was like, would you rather wake up tomorrow, be, like, at having jumped to age 45, but you have, like, $50 million in your bank account? Or would you rather go back to age 10 and with all of the knowledge you have now and redo?
Ooh.
And I was like, obviously you're going to redo. She was like, yeah, I would just go back and then short the housing market. Like, you don't have to be 18 to buy stocks.
Yeah, you could do a lot of things that would really screw up the timeline.
End up being a lot richer than $50 million.
Also, someone pointed out, like, yo, like, I don't know what $50 million is going to be able to do for me in the next 2 years. Like, that might not, like, it's so uncertain that, like, things can get so screwed up that, like, oh, hey, you have $50 million. Congratulations, it's worth nothing. Like, yeah. The United States is literally on fire. Like, global warming caught up. It's like, oh, okay, I could have, yeah, I'd rather go back.
Like Weimar dollars that are like, here, it's 20 billion Deutschmarks for a loaf of bread today.
Yeah, anything could happen. So I'll take my chances of going back, you know. Yeah, that's basically the double or nothing method, you know? Like,
yeah, like a lot of shit I would have done differently.
I think most things, you know, I do relatively the same.
That also comes up with the, you know, like slight, you know, time travel issue of, you know,
like if you go back thing.
Yeah, also if you go back in time and change all this stuff, what if you, by the time you get to the point where you were going to be able to go back in time and do all that, you don't get that opportunity and therefore none of it ever happened?
I assume it's the paradox correcting.
Okay.
I assume anytime there's like a would you rather, it's paradox correcting, or basically you've just gone into another timeline.
Sure. I mean, look, I know you have to have a very high IQ to want to talk about this and watch Rick and Morty, but, you know, it's...
They don't really do time travel in Rick and Morty. They only did it once.
Weird.
Because Dan Harmon thinks it's a tacky plotline, I think.
Tacky storytelling.
I think.
Just because it's so complicated. Like, they did one time travel thing, and it was, like, brief.
Look, we all know that we already have the worst example of time traveling, and that's in World of Warcraft with the Warlords of Draenor expansion.
You know that.
Yeah, I know that.
We all know.
We all know. He says. If I know, therefore we all know. That's how that works.
Earlier when I said great minds think alike, I meant like alike and not identically.
Oh no, I figured by osmosis. You just always have my thoughts in your head. That's how this works.
I feel like that would make playing D&D not very fun.
Yeah, that's why most of my D&D DMing is I don't have a plan.
The best plan is no plan.
Can't let them know that I don't have a plan by letting Stephanie know my thoughts and my plan.
Exactly.
We do know the worst time travel mechanic, though, and that's from Sonic 06.
Oh, I thought you were going to say from Avengers Endgame. But...
No, that made sense until they decided to ignore their own rules. Like... It made sense, like, hey, if you go back, you can't change what has currently happened. All you can do is just, like, mess with other timelines. And that was cool until they decided at the very end, yeah, but we're just going to forget that we said that.
Wait, was that in Adventure Zone?
No, Avengers Endgame.
Oh, I thought you said the Adventure Zone game. And I was like, well, I guess.
No, I don't know anything about that. No, Endgame, I think it was totally consistent until Steve appears at the end. You're like, that's that doesn't make any sense. Unless he just came back right at that moment, and, like, I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense, and also, like, the fact that he would be just like, cool, I'm gonna live forever happy in the past with Peggy, even though I know that in this timeline somewhere, my best friend is being tortured by Hydra.
But he knows that he'll eventually get better.
But only if Steve fucking helps him!
Yeah, this thing's happened. There's two Steves, I have to imagine. He just never be where he's also at.
Two Steves, you say?
Two Steves.
Wonder if Peggy knows about that.
I'm going to say, I had a dream like that once. Bucky had a dream like that once.
Can we talk about, real fast, like...
Anything else on our list?
No. Can we talk about, like, just the huge problems with, like, Avengers Endgame? Not because of anything that was introduced in the movie or bad writing, but just like bad outcomes. Like, thing number one, I know Steve was from the 40s, but like, can you imagine having all the tech we have today and then going back to none of that? Like, no more Google, no more cell phones, like just living, like just dropping all the shit you have today. Like, that would suck. I think that would suck.
Yeah, man, I feel like I would have, like, I'd be like, I grieved this person. Like,
to be fair, there's a whole movement of people who want to go back to what life was like in the 40s and 50s.
Oh yeah, it's true. They're in power of our government right now.
Yeah,
but I don't think they want to get rid of Google, though. I think they just want to get rid of like black people and women's rights.
If given the option, I think they would get rid of Google.
But if they got rid of Google, how would, or social media, how would Trump tweet?
They would have right-wing Twitter. Like, he would just blast it to your phone.
Ugh, what God, what phone? Curse. What phone? It's the 40s. And then, thing number two that I think just gets looked over, I saw this somewhere, like, in Endgame, like, half the population was gone, and people, even if they didn't get over it, they moved on. So, like, what do you do that, like, just half, like the population just doubles overnight? Like, it's one thing, like, man, it sucks we lost half our people. Our planet will crumble. You know what also make your planet crumble? Doubling your population, like, at the snap of a finger. And a lot of just weird shit, like, you're temporally displaced. Like, all of your friends are 5 years older than you now. Like, people have just moved on without you.
Shit's fucked.
I've never seen the movie.
Well, basically, Thanos snaps half the people away, and then 5 years later, it gets undone. So it's like, people come back like, oh, hey, Mr. Stark, I'm back. Luckily for Peter, all his friends died in the snap. Like, coincidentally.
Well, I mean, like, he didn't have to go back to high school as, like, the only person who was still high school age.
Sure.
Because that would be bad for the Spider-Man Homecoming budget.
For, like Homecoming the Dance?
No, yeah, no. What was it? Spider-Man Homecoming was the first one.
Yeah, and then Far From Home.
Far From Home. Yeah,
you know,
sorry.
The one where they came back. I don't get it. But yeah, that shit would be wild. Like, that would be a horrible place to live in.
Yeah, not to mention, like, the people who had, like, gotten married to someone else.
Yeah, like, what do you tell, like, to your significant other, no time has passed for them. They just, like, coughed and 5 years have passed. And, like, wait, you married somebody else? It's like, yeah, you were gone for 5 years. It's like, wait, hold on. What do you mean I was gone for five? Yeah. Like, Wakanda didn't have a king for 5 years. And they just said, fine. Like, we're all going to get a new one. We're just going to have the Dora Milaje lead and just act like, you know, we've been intensely traditional. And we're just going to say, forget it. Because why wouldn't you, I guess? I don't know. Maybe they addressed that, but I don't know.
Bold of you to assume that they would have addressed a plot hole in Avengers Endgame.
It's just a weird thing to think about, like, because the 5 years later, it's like, I would have just not did that, because, I mean, they had to give...
I would have simply not done that.
If it were I.
I mean, if I was the writers, not if I was the characters.
Oh.
Because the only reason it skips 5 years is so Tony Stark can have a daughter he cares about. But, like, now you've written a universe that's incredibly bleak, where, like, you... Like, that's the only thing people would care about. Like, there's not going to be, like, oh, I'm mad at Tony Stark for screwing over the little guy, so I'm going to get back at him. Buddy, like, the world hasn't existed for 5 years. Like, there's way more crazy shit happening. Like, that's so insignificant. Like,
so much else to worry about.
Yeah, like, for Mysterio, so hold on. I haven't seen Far From Home, but either he came back from the snap, like, he was gone, and found out Tony Stark was dead. He's like, I'm going to get my revenge on this dead man. And the world's like, yo, like, shit has changed, it's not important. Or he lived through the snap and was so petty, he's like, I don't care that Tony's dead, I'm still getting my revenge. Like,
I don't care that Tony's dead and brought back all of the people that died in the snap, I just am still so pissed at my bad boss. Like, I don't know, man, I've had bad bosses that
I'm not going to say that you wouldn't carry that grudge through most situations, but this was like some universe ending level shit. Like, the universe pretty much ended and came back, which probably ended it again. It's like, I don't know. But you can't even get revenge on this dead man, so it's like, he's already dead, like, what do you... I don't know. I don't know why I went off on this tangent. This is like a year-old movie.
Especially since you haven't seen it.
But it's just, like, the concept of it. It's not so much Mysterio. Like, it's just, like...
It's the concept of, like, Tony Stark is dead, and but I still want to get revenge on him, so instead I will harass a teenager in true supervillain fashion.
Yeah, because, like, my point being is, like, both of those are equally as ridiculous, so the only way to, like, just vibe with that is to just ignore that it happened. Like, no, like, 5 years didn't, like, no, it's fine. It's the only way this, like, that you can sympathize with. I don't know. We have topics.
That was it.
A final note, the most cursed thing about, even though the Spider-Man MCU movies are generally enjoyable, the most cursed thing about them is that they have, basically, the theme of all of it is that the blue-collar working man is a villain, and, like, the people's hero, like, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, is now, like, using drone warfare that he got from his billionaire mentor.
It's not a great message, right? It's not a good feeling.
Don't love that.
I don't know if that's better or worse than in the video game where he was, like, working with the cops, apparently. Superhero fiction and cops, it's weird. It's weird.
Don't love it. Anyway, topics.
Yeah. This week, there was, Microsoft had its little, like, press conference in lieu of E3, sort of. They said it was going to be one of many, kind of going over what's going to be expected of the Xbox Series X launch. They showed off some gameplay of the new Halo.
The Xbox.
Yeah. New Halo didn't look great. It looked like a it looked like a current gen game, which, like, understandable because they're making it for the current gen as well. So
it just seems like, why are you showing it off?
Yeah, why show this off as if it's going to be this big thing, like, that, you know, you're launching with Halo on this new system, like, you would want it to look as good as possible, because you're trying, the whole point of, like, these, like, launch events and stuff like that is you're trying to justify to people why they should spend, you know, like $600, $700,
yeah.
So to have things not look or not be all of that impressive, like, and Halo is kind of, like, their big thing. So yeah. It's kind of weird to not have that be, like, the most visually stunning thing that they showed. Because, like, they showed some actually very interesting stuff. Just it wasn't Halo.
Yeah, I heard this was, like, a very diverse presentation, like, for once.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it. I don't watch things. I just make opinions because I live on the internet.
I watched it as it was airing since I work from home and was able to, like, just do that. But I don't, like, because it was early in the week, I don't recall all of it, so I apologize for any of this that may be wrong, but
never apologize, just be wrong. Welcome but to, like, the internet.
The you know, Rare showed their new game that I can't remember what the name of it is, but it like looked absolutely stunning and looked like a very interesting, like, I almost wanted to say it reminded me of, like, Avatar The Last Airbender, like, ooh, in certain ways, like, just because of, like, the art direction and, like, different things like that. Like, it was very interesting looking.
Can and, dig.
Yeah.
Was Rogue Company one of the games, or is that just a thing that came out?
I think that's just a thing that came out.
Okay, then what about Balan Wonderland?
That's a new Square Enix published game. I don't think they're developing it, but they're publishing it.
Yeah,
that looks interesting.
It's made by Yuji Naka, the creator of Sonic, and also Nights into Dreams, which this game seems to have a lot of aesthetic similarities to.
Yeah, that one seems pretty interesting as well.
That's kind of what caught my eye.
You know, there's a lot of different things that are, like, they've kind of, you know, been putting out for a while for the Xbox, but they really just haven't shown anything that's like, hey, here's why you need this console on release. So I'm hoping that they have other events as time moves forward, like, closer and closer to release that, like, shows more of that stuff, but who knows. Another big announcement was that they're rebooting Fable, and Sorry, go ahead.
No, is Fable, is that the one that's like a, like, gritty fairy tale thing?
Yes, or it kind of, like, started
out
as,
like, also a comic book?
I don't know. No, that's different.
Or is that Fables?
Like, I think that's Fables.
Who made Fable?
So it was Peter Molyneux, I believe.
Okay, I can't, yeah, okay, it's Peter Molyneux. Yeah, I always get, since he's the same last name as that, like, horrible right-winger dude who got banned off YouTube and Twitter.
Yeah, Steven.
But I was like, wait, which one of them is the game developer? They're both, from what I could tell, they're both liars. But Peter Molyneux, like, tries to be a good dude.
Like, Peter Molyneux always, it's kind of like, always overpromises and underdelivers. Like, the original Fable was, like, promised to be this, like, huge world-changing RPG, and that, like, you know, your character would get old as you played, and, like, making choices would change the way your character looks and change the world around you. And really, it was all very predictable because, like, it came out on the original Xbox, so it didn't have a lot to work with. But, you know, the thing is, like, all they really showed was, like, a CGI trailer and then a title, like, literally, like, just a title reel of, like, Fable. And everyone was like, oh my god, more Fable.
Ah, yes, the Elder Scrolls method.
Exactly. It was very much, to me, it was very much like, we're making Fable. And I was like, yeah, like, I kind of thought you were this whole time. Like,
I figured.
So, I mean, you know, I'm sure the people who are very into that series are excited. I'm ambivalent about it. Like, I don't have a ton of thoughts on it.
I feel bad because Xbox seems to pretty often be, like, sometimes a superior piece of hardware, some good services, but it just doesn't have the games.
Yeah,
and when it does, they're, like, available on the Microsoft Store, so it's like you can just get them on a PC, whereas PlayStation's like, if you want this game, you kind of got to get a PlayStation, which is...
And, like, Game Pass is still, like, I would honestly say it's the best deal in gaming at this moment. Like, you pay a small monthly fee and you have access to this huge amount of games with new ones cycling in all the time. Like, CrossCode, the game I gushed about the last time we did a podcast, like, that's on Game Pass and I didn't even know. I didn't even have to buy it. I could have just been playing it.
But... You've been playing it this whole time.
And, you know, like, a lot of really good games do come to Game Pass and, like, it's genuinely probably the best deal that you can get if you don't have a ton of money to spend on, like, individual games. So, but, like, yeah, they're just kind of, like, it's the same thing they had the struggles with in this current generation is, like, getting games on their platform.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing with the consoles. You gotta get good exclusives, and that starts with first party.
Could have just out there, you gotta get good.
Well, and like they're definitely trying to do more first party stuff because like they bought a bunch of different developers in the past year or so. Whether that pans out for them or not is still yet to be seen. And I know I'm forgetting things that happened in this conference, but
It's fine. I mean, that's somewhat indicative of like how the presentation goes. I mean, I saw the PlayStation 1 several weeks ago. Whenever it came out, I still remember seeing the trailer for Horizon Zero Dawn. I remember the weird way that I didn't see it, that I wasn't in that part of the conference, but I remember it happening.
Yeah,
I remember like the time travel-y one where like people were like shooting at each other. I remember the weird way they kept showing like the X circle square triangle. Like, I don't like that. But I remember the presentation, even if it wasn't like for me. Like, I'm not probably gonna need a PS5 anytime soon.
Yeah, and like that's the thing is it's kind of. At this point, we're only a few months out from when the new console should be releasing. And so it's kind
of
like
pretty close.
Yeah, we're kind of cutting it close to, like, you need to justify to me.
Budgeting, like...
Wait, who's getting Cyberpunk?
Not me.
No, I mean, is that Xbox or PlayStation? I feel like
everybody.
I thought it was an exclusive or timed release at least.
It might be timed, but I'm pretty sure it's generally, like, I think all systems are getting it. I don't want to be wrong.
Damn, I
mean, obviously me, so that I can customize my character's pubic hair.
Yes, clearly.
That's all you can say about that is yes, clearly. another.
I've never been given that option in a game before. I feel so seen.
Yeah, you know what? I guess that's true. I guess that's a fair reaction to have. Although I'm sure you could do that in Saints Row the Third, because you could customize everything else, but I don't actually know.
I don't think you can customize the pubic hair, but you could definitely make your junk bigger.
Yes. Of any kind of junk. They were pretty inclusive about that, if I recall.
Yes.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. The game was built on being ridiculous. It started as a Grand Theft Auto clone, but became something so much more.
Yeah.
A game that I'm very excited about that got announced this week was called Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. From,
oh, fuck yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oops, I did a curse.
What?
Cyberfunk, more like cyberfuck. So it's from Team Reptile.
Cyberpunk, more like cyberfuck.
Got him. It's from Team Reptile, who made Lethal League, which was like a fighting game, but you like hit a ball back and forth and knocked each other out. But basically what this game is, you know what? If Sega won't make Jet Set Radio sequel,
we will.
We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And... Yo, this game looks exactly like it.
It does. It looks fantastic, like, too.
Instead of skating around, you run around. But basically, it's a game where some young punks are running around a fictional Tokyo-type city, and they're just graffitiing the walls, and you can grind on rails and do tricks, it looks like. They only released, like, a 15-second trailer but you can wishlist it on Steam, and it is confirmed that Hideki Naganuma will be doing the music for it.
Yep, and he's already, they've already put out some of the tracks, and it is...
Oh, shit, for real?
I think so, because I unless I am, like, having a hallucinatory memory of listening to some new music.
Well, he did do some music for their previous game, Lethal League Blaze, so there is some music
from possible,
him.
Then.
And, but he's the one who made the music for... a good portion of the music for Jet Set Radio and Jet Set Radio Future. And if you're a Sonic fan, you would know him from the Sonic Rush soundtrack and some other games. If it ever sounds like really sample heavy and kind of like jazzy hip hop punk music, yeah. It was probably him.
Like kind of like techno funk in certain ways as
Yeah, it goes hard. He's hilarious on Twitter too.
Yes, he is.
He likes Family Guy a lot, which is just funny to see somebody not from America like this goofy show, and I don't know if it just plays differently if you're Japanese, but like
I think from what I understand it's like fairly popular in Japan.
That's news to me. I believe it. There has to be some Family Guy level shows that we watch that are anime. We're like, oh, it's cool, it's anime. And Japanese people are like, that dog shit, y'all watch that?
Well, I know that King of the Hill has fans much like anime does in America.
Oh yeah, they argue about subs versus dubs.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to look up the difference, but that's a game I'm excited for. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Nintendo's leaking.
Yeah, and it's not,
I saw
like
the
a,
leak, but tell me about what happened.
Dom, do you want to explain, or do you want me to try to give my like explain like I'm five view?
Could you do that? I just know that there was a leak for a lot of old information from Nintendo,
yeah.
And I have thoughts about it, but I'm not 100% sure.
So it's not a leak in that it's like, you know, a full game coming out or really anything like that. What it seems to be, from my understanding, is kind of a compilation of inside code from Nintendo itself for like preview builds and like betas from games ranging from like the earliest code existing in there was like 1986, and I think it was up to like 2013.
Ooh.
So spanning a very good chunk of Nintendo's business lifetime. And basically like people are going through and pulling out information for different individual games and seeing like things that were previously unknown or only suspected. They're able to get high definition art that had been compressed poorly to appear on the N64, as well as like sound files.
Nice.
So like we now have high quality sound files of Pepe saying do a barrel roll.
Hell and, yeah, that's why we invented video games.
Yeah, and like Not So Fast Star Fox and like things like that, you know, like these very iconic game lines that we've only previously known as these horribly compressed audio files, we now have like high quality samples of them. And like that stuff's really interesting.
Yeah, like small tangent related to that. Like apparently they haven't re-recorded voice lines for Captain Falcon since the 64 until this Min-Min trailer. So like all the stuff we've heard like in Ultimate was from then. And it's like, wait, this sounds like this doesn't sound compressor trash. So,
yeah,
I mean,
somehow. And I mean, it must be because they were possibly using these samples that people are now able to, like, mess around with, basically, from these source files. And, like, I don't know too much of how it leaked or anything like that, because I didn't have time to research all of that before we did the show. Sorry about that.
Tisk, tisk.
But, you can go all over Twitter, and there's just so many different posts of things that people are pulling apart. You know, a lot of the stuff that I think is most interesting to look at is the, like, high-res art, like, from these old games that, you know, previously you couldn't, like, have all of that kind of stuff from...
it can't render on a 64.
Correct. And, like, you know, the other interesting thing to me was they basically discovered what was appearing to be a two-player mode for Super Mario 64, where, like, Luigi kind of existed within, like, source code for the game.
The ghost of Ouija.
Yeah. So, like, just things that are, like, interesting like that. And, you know, there's a big discussion behind it as to, you know, whether this is good that it got out there or if it's bad and it's proprietary and Nintendo should do something about it.
Yeah.
You know.
There's, like, a lot of code stuff coming out with, like, beta versions of stuff, too. It's still circulating today. There are some discussions about, like, game preservation, stuff like that. Since, like, Nintendo's pretty bad at preservation that's not, like, fully under their control.
Yeah.
Especially considering how many, like, different kinds of hardware and software they use, considering the virtual consoles on games or on their systems, like, you know, their old ROMs are so hard to use. Like, you can't keep, like, if I bought a copy of Super Mario World, I can't still access that without certain hardware. I just can't. And I've bought that game at least 3 times for different systems. But it's not the way that music is. If you have an MP3 or a wave of something, I can just keep using it. Like, if I recorded a song in the 60s, I can still keep transferring that from system to system without Atlantic Records control.
Yeah.
But I can't get a copy of a video game that way. So on that hand, people are like, yo, Nintendo's pretty bad at this stuff. And we've seen other companies, like, have a fire at their HQ or something, like, famously, like, Capcom and Square Enix, like, yeah, we would remaster that game for you, but we don't have the source code anymore.
But it literally burned to the ground.
Yeah, it's like gone.
They literally didn't have the source code for Final Fantasy VIII for a long, long time.
So, so for some of these remasters, it's not so much that it's a remaster, but it's like, we just made the game again.
Completely rebuild.
Yeah. And that's not the most efficient way. And also, it's just, it's not preserving things. Like, you might make a better game that way, but... You know, we're not going to get to see, like, well, what's the original product that people, like, fell in love with? Like, what were the warts on it? You know, what did they have to deal with? You know, like, it's nice to have the Crash Remastered Trilogy, the Insane Trilogy, but it's not the same as playing those games in their original context or format, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to play Crash 1 with a PlayStation controller that's not a DualShock would probably feel, like, you know, without the two analog sticks would be a lot different than playing it on a Nintendo Switch handheld or like with a pro controller. Those are vastly different experiences, and I could probably say the one in 2020 is objectively better, at least more accessible, but there's a discussion about preservation there.
Yeah, and you know, not only preservation of the games themselves, but also the preservation of like the development cycle of them. You know, like, previously, we didn't know the information of, like, when did development start on Super Mario 64 and when did it end. But thanks to this source code, we're able to determine, like, oh, it's because, like, the programmers in there wrote, like, we started programming it on this day, and then, like, the final version was this day. You know, like, that kind of stuff is, like, neat from a historical perspective. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, good for the video games to be considered as art people, to have, like, provenance.
Yeah, and to have, like, archival stuff. Like, basically being able to, like, be, like, part of preserving the history of video games is preserving the history of their development and, like, how they came to be and things, you know, that kind of stuff, in addition to just the games themselves.
Yeah.
So, it's important.
It's like having, like, a writer's, like, notebooks in addition to their book.
Exactly.
Like their letters, marginalia,
and like, is anybody really going to profit off of this stuff that leaked out of this code? And it's like, probably not. You know, like, Nintendo's not really losing anything on this, I don't think.
No, I don't feel a lot of I don't feel compassion for like a company specifically losing this kind of data, because again, it's, I think people are just more fascinated by it. Like, even the ability to turn any of this into a profit is like, oh, what are you going to do? Like, make Super Mario World 2 beta, like, and sell it? Like, okay, if someone wants to buy that, cool. Like, but also, yeah. There's a thing of, hey, Nintendo, you're sitting on things. If people are willing to buy them, there's no reason why you don't sell them unless there's, like, passwords and stuff.
Well, and, you know, there was in there one of the things that people found that was kind of one of those moments of, like, being flabbergasted at Nintendo's, like, turning a blind eye to something that so many people wanted. Like, there was, like, development code for a Pokemon MMO.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's something that people have already been asking. So it's like, okay, so you guys were developing this gold mine and then didn't release it. But maybe they had a reason. I mean, maybe it just didn't work out or something like that, or they didn't have the hardware at the time. I don't know.
The Pokemon one is fascinating because the way that they wanted it to work was that players would connect to servers via their PC, but they would play using a Game Boy Advance that they hook up into the PC itself. Which, like, that is the most Nintendo-ass way.
Absolutely the most.
Backwards, like.
Yeah, like, that's, like, the most ass-backwards way of doing that, so of course that's what they wanted.
And you know what's even more ridiculous about that, like, thinking about it, too? Like, the Game Boy Advance coexisted with the GameCube, and the GameCube had a network adapter. There's no reason why you had to, like, wild route your way into the internet.
Well, and, like, It had a network adapter that was probably one of the most underutilized peripherals of any system I've ever seen. This is for what?
Phantasy Star Online?
And like Mario Kart Double Dash, and I'm pretty sure that might be it. And like Chibi Robo, maybe, I think. I might be remembering that wrong.
Nintendo's but... such a wild company.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely wild. But the other half of this, I think people were asking about leaks, like in general. And I'm kind of against leaks as far as like spreading them around when they're about upcoming software, when it's not like there's not like a consumer reason to do it. Like if Nintendo knows that they're going to release, like, let's say a Switch Lite, which they did, and somebody leaks that, that's good, because people might have would have rather bought the Switch Lite because it suits their needs better, but they didn't know it was coming out, so they bought a Switch, and the next day the Switch Lite got announced, and like, oh, I just bought one on sale, I really could have waited, I wasn't like in a rush to get it, now I have this system that I don't want, or you know what, I think I'm finally gonna, you know what, I'm gonna buy Persona 5, and then like, Persona 5 Royal's coming, I like, damn, I don't have time to play an RPG, I could have waited, like, that kind of yeah. stuff, I'm fine if those things leak, but when people are like, yo, the new character in Smash Bros. Is gonna be like, it's gonna be Dr. Luigi, it's like, what do you get from leaking that? Just you get the upvotes on Reddit, like you get people to go to your YouTube video. That doesn't inform my purchase. You just took like the fun out of the surprise, and it's not important. Don't get me wrong.
It's like people... the Snape kills Dumbledore, like
yeah, like it doesn't yeah. hurt me. Like if you do that, like I'm like, damn, I wish you wouldn't have said that. I would have liked to find that out organically, and that's all. But you took that away from me for no gain. You know what I mean? It's not like you found out that a Switch Lite was coming out, so you made your own and sold that ahead of Nintendo. You just did it because you wanted props. And that's corny to me, and I don't like those kind of leaks.
Yeah.
But I think it's different than leaking, like, code that can be, like, archived.
Yeah. Like yeah, it's the difference between quote-unquote profit, even if it's just, like, internet fame or whatever, versus, like, this is literally, legitimately, like, a code dump that people are now having to comb through in order to, like, find the actual interesting bits of it.
Yeah, it's what are you doing this for? Is it to inform a consumer or provide them something they wouldn't normally have? Or is it to get profit either through money or internet kudos? And if you're doing it for those reasons, that's kind of cheesy. Yeah, that's my take on it, but whatever. I'm a grumpy old man.
But that was kind of all the news that we had for the week. What was those two things?
They announced the Phantasy Star Online 2 expansion / new game or something.
Correct. Yeah, sorry. Microsoft. That was the part that I want of the Microsoft conference that I actually wanted to talk about, because the way they presented it was so like confusing.
Ah, yes, the Nintendo / Blizzard method.
Yeah, because it was, you know, they present it, they're like, ah, and like I'm watching and I'm like, ah, Phantasy Star Online 2. Yeah, like, yeah, that's out and it's cool. But then I'm like, wait a second, the UI for this looks totally different. Also, these graphics are way better than what are currently in that game. And then, like, they don't really say anything about it during the conference, but then, like, news comes out the next day, they're like, oh yeah, it's basically a relaunch, like, of Phantasy Star Online 2. Basically, it's Phantasy Star Online 2 too.
Ah, yeah.
And I'm like, ah, so Phantasy Star Online 3, okay.
Well, they did that with the first one, they did episode 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Because they're just doing it again.
But, like, they've already had episodes within 2. Like, you know, that was kind of, like, their patches and, like, expansions that were, you know, released for free throughout the game's life in Japan. So it's just very strange.
It's like what Overwatch is doing. Hey, we're releasing Overwatch 2. Is it a new game? They're like, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. And that's kind of what it is. But on the same vein of MMOs is that the other MMO news this week was Square Enix and... the developers of Final Fantasy XIV had a, they call them like developer live letter, which is like a presentation by the developer. And the big thing that they announced was that they were changing the way that the free trial worked, which was previously you could play up to level 30 and that was pretty much it. Now you can play for free up through the first expansion, the entirety of the first expansion.
Oh geez, that's a lot of stuff.
Yes, that's the base game and the first expansion. So if you want a couple hundred hours of JRPG for free, you can go play that now.
That is really an example of the first hit is free. That is,
yeah,
that's wild.
and it's because there's like they discussed, like, you know, we wanted to be able to present to people a contained story, and you know, we're confident that we're not losing any sales by doing this, because if you're going to play all the way up through, then you're going to buy the game.
Yeah, if you play 100 hours,
if you stuck around this long,
yeah.
So
I do want to meet the people that are like, I'm willing to play 100 hours of this and no more.
Yeah, and like, then just stop.
Because I feel like the cutoff of if you're not going to follow through with it is way before that.
Yeah.
That's just, that, I think that's, I don't know. It'd be very interesting for somebody like, no, I'm going to squeeze every last bit of free content out of this, which is so much content, and then just like, yeah, because, I'm done, no more, cold turkey.
Because the way that game works, too, is, you know, if you're allowed to go up through the entire, like, first expansion of that game, you can level your character up to level 60 on all of the different jobs. So, like, you have, like, that's a lot of content.
That's so much playing.
Yeah, you would probably
so much game.
Make some friends who are playing the real, like the full version. Like, yeah, that's,
yeah.
That's like a dare. That's like, excuse the phrase, but like putting your balls on the table. Like, we dare you to play our game and not buy it. Like, I don't. Yeah. If you play this game, you'll want to buy it. I dare you. Here, I'll let you play it for free.
But I just thought that was a very cool approach. Like different change to the way that they are offering that to people. So
yeah,
if you know, to any listeners, I know I have spoken the praises of that game a lot. It's still probably the best MMO on the market in my opinion.
I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah, and now you can just go out and try it for free, so what's stopping you?
So like, go off, I guess.
Yeah,
Steph.
Yeah,
you haven't spoken really.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been on a tear today.
It's okay.
Tell us about the graphic novel you read.
Oh yeah. I was just letting you guys do your video game thing. I've done literally nothing this week, and very little news on my part has been useful or interesting. So I was just gonna like coast in over here, but but I did read the Adventure Zone graphic novel, which was very good. It is so apparently. It's funny, I saw at the, so there was supposed to be, as there was the last 2 years, a live launch show in New York. There was not. But at the last one, Carrie Peach, who does the art, was talking about how, like, so it turns out trains are really hard to draw. A good thing that I don't have to draw trains anymore, just the one thing that all artists hate, cars. And then, like, during, like, in the book, there was, like, a page where, like, the little Griffin character was reading a magazine while, like, all the characters were doing the racing and fighting stuff. And one of the things said, like, how to draw robots.
Because that's the next chapter. Because
the next arc is Crystal Kingdom.
Yeah.
But it was really good. Very, like, pretty, very, I don't know, the colors were just really, really great. I liked that, so one of the backstory of, if you, spoilers for the Pedals to the Metal arc of the Adventure Zone Balance, if you haven't listened to it and worry about that kind of thing, but, so apparently the story goes that, like, the main NPC characters of this arc are a lesbian couple, and at the end, one of them sacrifices herself to save the other one, and they're transformed into a tree. And Griffin was really proud of himself when he came up with this, because he thought, he was like, I'm building this inclusive world, like, I'm really glad, or, like, really excited to introduce these characters. And he didn't know that barrier gaze was a thing, and that, like...
Barrier gaze,
just, like, the...
Okay, just make sure, like, I heard the right phrase.
Oh, yeah, like... killing off queer characters is, like, a thing that happens all the time and is bad. And so in the podcast, they come back at the end, like, in the big battle, like, they're set free from the tree and saved and everything. But in the graphic novel, they actually are set free by the end of the graphic novel.
Oh.
Presumably to address that issue in real time.
Yeah, the semi-bad take that had happened pretty much entirely on accident. I don't think Griffin ever did that maliciously.
No, yeah, my understanding was that he was like, oh, I made the gaze, and it was like, they were like, but you did it bad. And they're like, he was like, oh, shit, I'll bring him back, I promise.
Because it's roleplay, you can do whatever you want.
Yep.
Yeah, there's very good, it's honestly making me want to re-listen to the Balance arc again, because it's so much better than...
The current
arc that's going on.
Yep.
Full offense to Travis. Sorry.
It's so sad in some ways because it could be so good and it's just not.
Yeah, and I think the other guys are starting to get annoyed.
Yeah.
Travis kind of manhandling the story. But that's my own parasocial projections. So, but yeah, buy the graphic novel. I think it's probably, I'm curious to see which bestseller list it will hit next week. The first one came out before the, like, so the New York Times originally, like, for a while had a graphic novel and manga bestseller list. And then a couple years ago, like, right around when I started in, like, publishing house publishing, they got rid of it. And it was, like, a big, like, people were pissed. Because even though the New York Times kind of makes up their lists, like, the way they curate them is very strange, and, like, where they get their numbers from, it's still, like a sales, like, a marketing and sales thing to say, like, such and such is a New York Times bestseller, like, to put New York Times bestselling author on a cover. And they got rid of the graphic novel and manga list a couple years ago, and then very recently they reinstated it. So when the first graphic novel for The Adventure Zone came out, the list didn't exist at that point, and so they hit the top of the paperback, like, first format paperback.
That's pretty impressive list, for a graphic novel.
Truly insane, yeah, because, like, and you don't need a ton of, like, the numbers you need to hit the list off of pre-orders are not as high as you probably think they are, like, I'm sure they had more than 3,000 pre-orders, and, yeah, like, yeah. That's a, like, 3,000 pre-orders, at least in children's, is, like, a guaranteed number one, unless something is very, like, going very strangely at the New York Times, like, so, I'm curious to see, because I don't know if you can double over, like, I don't know if it can hit the top of the graphic novel list and also the paperback print list, or if they would just pick one.
Yeah, if they would block you.
Yeah, like, only one list.
It'll be interesting to see, for sure.
But yeah, I was, this morning I was like, huh, I wonder if it did, and I, like, looked up the email that Publicity sends out every week with the whole list in it, and I was like, wait, nope, it came out last week, so it won't be in the paper till this week. So, we'll know by the next, recording.
Cool.
But yeah, let's enjoyable. Think. Purchase it.
I started listening to a real play podcast today, or actual play, or show.
Ooh, which one?
It's new. It's from FilmJoy, Movies with Mikey and those guys. They have a show called Deep Dive, where they normally get together and, like, watch a movie and, like, deep dive into it. Mm-hmm. Coronavirus has prevented such events from taking place. So they decided to do a D&D campaign. And, well, I mean, from, like, getting together and, like, watching
the movie. Yeah, I figured.
So they're like, hey, let's do a D&D campaign. And it's called Hot Quests. And I was listening to it while I was playing a game, so I didn't fully get it, but I'm going to go back and listen to it. It's just, like, good personalities playing a D&D campaign that seems to be set in the D&D style, like, that it's the game it is, but it's, like, current set and stuff like that. So it's just kind of fun and charming to listen to. Like, they went to a bowling alley where it appears that only one of the lanes is used for bowling, so that's kind of weird. But the other lanes are here, and then they got their classes assigned, and Mikey was like, he's like, so Mikey, you'll be a rogue. He's like, okay, so just to point that out, I am a character, and he may have been referencing himself as well, he's like, I have disabilities, so my dexterity is low. Are you sure you want to make me a rogue? He's like, yeah, I think you can handle that. And everyone was just kind of getting, like, weird things like that. He's like, you are also good. You're cunning, bold, medicine. And
you're cunning. You're medicine.
Yeah, so just, like, the DM was having good, and everyone seemed to be having a good time and laughing with each other. And the episode was only, like, a half an hour long. So I'm like, cool, this seems like a good starter thing for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's cool.
Nice. Enjoy.
I'm looking at getting a Comixology subscription soon, because I want to read the Sonic comics. They've finally gotten rid of the metal virus.
And I was going to say, I saw some clips or something.
Yeah, some takes on that or something.
I'll give you two guesses as to how they resolved the metal virus in the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise.
I don't know, did they
go, like, fast?
Time travel?
No, well, yes to going fast, but no, they used a Chaos Emerald. I was just being Super General. I was gonna
say, does it the Dragon Balls?
Basically the Dragon Balls, yes. But yeah, so I want to read that. And then the annual that came out has like some stories like, where was Big Ed? How did he get the virus? You know, how does Metal Sonic react to all this? And apparently Metal Sonic has a very terrible complex with not being able to be Sonic. And if I had emotions, I'd be pretty pissed off if, as a robot, I couldn't surpass a human, or not a human, but a living creature, but whatever. But at one point, he tries to infect himself with the metal virus to be like Sonic. But, you know, you can't turn into more metal. You just continue to be a robot.
He's just still a robot. That's so rough.
Yeah, it's real weird. And I'm like, man, I'm glad this they just gave this robot depression.
Did you? Why did you give this robot depression?
See, all you did, you gave you
ruined
a perfectly
good robot.
That's what you did. Yeah, so I want to start looking at that stuff soon, too. I like that franchise, as you all know.
Wait, that's news.
Had no idea.
Dom, you like Sonic?
You guys are, fucks. you know, I it's interesting to me that that fandom still has, like, younger people in it. Like, I'll go on Instagram looking for fan art and stuff. I posted this on Twitter. But I'll be like, oh, that's some really cool fan art. And I want to see, is this a meme page just like resharing people's art, or is it the actual artist? And sometimes it'll actually be the artist, which is cool because I get to see more art like that. But then people will have their age in their bio, and people, they'll be like children, you know, like teenagers and stuff. I'm like, damn, A, you're really good at art. I wasn't doing shit when I was your age.
Right.
And B, like, yo, what's getting people into Sonic nowadays? Like, some people's first...
The same things that got us into it, I guess.
No. Some people's first game is like Sonic 06, and they're sticking with the franchise after that. They're like, oh yeah, it's the first game I played, like, so it's like my favorite. I know it's not very good, but it's my favorite game, and like, damn, this is a 30-year-old franchise, and any of these games could be, some, like, Sonic Forces could be somebody's first introduction to the series, and they could be like, yeah, I want to play more of this. That's crazy to me.
Imagine.
So it's...
Couldn't be me.
To be fair, I think I said the same thing about after I beat Sonic 1 a few weeks ago, where it's like, how did I ever want to play more of this?
That's fair, dude. I'd rather play Sonic Forces than play Sonic 1. Like, I...
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's still a fandom that has people my age and older, and people much younger, and as long as we're not interacting with them in any kind of weird, creepy way, it's like, hey, I see this art, and I move on. I'm like, cool, double tap a little like. Like that art, so I can see it again later, and I'm not talking to you. I have nothing to say to you. So, anything else? I think we got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that was actually longer than I think we all expected.
Yeah, we managed to talk it out.
Sorry, I rambled about Avengers for half an hour. That was unnecessary.
Sorry that I rambled about all the games. Like, I feel like I was definitely
you were
taking up the conversation.
Main character.
That was planned. You were supposed to do that. You were following the script.
That's true.
I'm the one who had to improv for no reason. Last thing that I'm not even going to get into, I just want to bring it up to you guys to laugh. There was another hubbub in the Overwatch community this week. This one is not...
What?
This one's not actually about anything important. It was just a balance change that people were very upset with, like high-level damage players.
People were spicy about.
Yeah, they were... Some people were getting really pissed. Like, one dude filmed a video, like... It looked like one of those videos of, like, dudes in their car when they're ranting about black people. except he was in his house, and he was ranting about, like... them giving too much power to an easy-to-use support. Like, bro, like, other people are mad too, but, like, why are you so red in the face? Like, relax, dude, like, it's not that serious. They're probably not going to do this. And then, like, the next day, the developer's like, yeah, if we were going to do this, we would change the cooldown. Like, come on. We're not that bad at this, you guys. And then it just kind of died. But it was funny to me, like, wow, the internet on the Overwatch community just kind of fell apart real fast. It was very funny to see. But, yeah, it's been another week.
It sure has.
It's going to be August in a couple days, so there's that. Where did the year go?
Yep.
We're so close to being done with 2020. Please just let it end.
But it's not anywhere near close to being done with us.
Yeah.
Someone want to pop out the social media business and we blow this pops to the end?
Yeah, to get my word count up for the episode, I will hit the hit the biz.
Is there like a pedometer but for words?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's called a wordometer.
Gotta get my word steps in.
You talk big.
I am the white lady of the show. I do need to have a Fitbit of some kind. But yeah, so if you want to find us on the internet, you can find the podcast online at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find us on Facebook at Character Reveal, on Twitter at Character Rev. You can find us in the podcast catcher of your choice by searching for Character Reveal. If you check us out, if you want to leave us a rating or review, that would be fantabulous. And if you don't want to leave any kind of comments in a public forum, you can always hit us up on our email, which is characterreveal@gmail.com.
Send us questions,
send us comments, send us constructive criticism, send us your undying love, whatever. If you want to find us individually on the internet, you can find Eric
at Tim DeLosi
on Twitter.
And that's it.
You can find Eric, period. You can find Dom at Brother Dom anywhere on the internet. I wanted to make it clear that I was just like mimicking what you did at the beginning, and not I didn't forget your Twitter handle.
Cool.
Like, I do remember that you were at Tim DeLosi on the Twitter.
Perfect.
Dom can be found at Brother Dom anywhere on the internet, and I can be found at The Snow Queer on Tumblr, at Captain Steph on Twitter, and Hella_Steph on Instagram. That's the best.
That's a podcast. We did it.
Yeah. Another fun week.
Yeah, let's hope that next week is more fun and gooder and better.
Yeah.
So yeah,
hey. Fingers crossed.
Huh?
I said fingers crossed. I won't say we can only go up from here, because that would just jinx it, but
we can go in any direction from here. It's wild. Let's hope for neutral at worst. But yes, listeners, thank you for listening to another episode of Geekly Reveal. We appreciate you every time. Honestly, we do. It's true. But until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Goodbye.